Passage for study this evening is found in Psalm 119, Psalm 119, beginning with verse 97, and that's found on page 653 of your pew Bibles. We're a little over halfway there to the end of Psalm 119. And the section we're going to be looking at this evening is one of only two sections where the psalmist doesn't make any petitions to God. It's really a section that is centered on thanksgiving to God for what he has done, as opposed to calling upon him. So I think the other section is around 160, 165, toward the very end of Psalm 119. But let's listen now to this portion of God's word, beginning with verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Well, let's pray and ask God to lead us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been pleased to send to your people your Holy Spirit to guide us in the study of your word. Illumine us by the work of the Spirit this night. Write your word upon our hearts, that we, like the psalmist, may delight in your law, and that it may be sweeter than honey to our taste. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, there's no petition within this. This is a portion of Psalm 119 where the psalmist is giving thanks to God. We are nearly 100 verses in to Psalm 119. And again and again and again throughout all of this psalm, we are reminded of the great blessing of the Word of God. And here in verse 97, the psalmist begins, David begins, "Oh, how I love your law." A statement which testifies to the fact that God has been at work within the life of David, that an operation of regeneration has already taken place. Because we know that before that work of regeneration takes place within us, there is absolutely nothing within our heart that is inclined to God. In fact, we are likened throughout Scripture as those who are at war with God in our sinfulness, in our deadness in sin. And yet something dramatic has taken place within this creature. That now, as he reads the law of God, no longer does he feel that the law of God is merely shackles or something that is intended to keep him from fulfilling his own desires, but rather now he sees with new eyes how it is that the law of God is intended for his good. How it is that the law of God leads him in a straight path and saves him from himself and saves him from the pitfalls that are so customary to those who follow after their own understanding. We see here this love is so great that it yields within the life of David a hunger for the Word of God. He delights at every opportunity that he has to both read the Word of God and to meditate upon it. As I was thinking about this passage and thinking about what is often our problem in life is that we don't have the same yearning for the Word of God. In fact, there are many that would go throughout life thinking, as long as there is a Bible on the shelf in my home, or as long as it's on the end table next to me, or it's on the coffee table, that is enough. I would liken it to an old silver spoon. Now, I'm probably from the generation that didn't get a lot of silver things at my wedding. We didn't get a lot of silver. But some of you may have been around when that was a more popular thing. You either inherited your mother's silver or you received silver. And if you recall, what happens to that silver if it goes unused for years and years and years? It becomes tarnished. It doesn't really look like the treasure that it really is. Kids, if you've ever watched any shows about treasures that have been found under the sea, maybe shipwrecks, and oftentimes they'll have camera crews that'll go down along the bottom of the seafloor and they'll show you pictures of silver ingots, these big bricks of silver. They don't really look like silver anymore. They're covered over with barnacles. They're tarnished. They don't look like any kind of treasure to us. But if you've ever cared for that silverware, those silver spoons, you know that if you are diligent in regularly rubbing and polishing those things, they will maintain a shine. They will definitely look like the treasure that they are. And studying God's Word often is similar to that. The more time that we spend within the Word of God, the greater that word begins to shine and provide us with the light that our feet so sorely need for the path that God has laid out for us. The more we study the Word of God, the more we begin to see how the threads connect from Genesis to Revelation, how we see and understand God's faithfulness, which is important to us as we face life's battles. To be reminded that the God whom we love, the God who has called us out from the world, is a faithful God and who remembers His people. And so we see here in the beginnings of this section of Psalm 119, he begins with this idea of loving the law of God. He loves it because it is the Word of God. He loves it because it is the expression of God's great love for him that he not only spoke, but that he has preserved for all generations his word, that you and I might have it and be able to study it and be able to test the things that we are confronted with in this world against it. There are many in this day and age who want to hear voices. But there are so many examples within the Scripture of voices not being rightly understood. If you think of the example of Samuel, Samuel heard voices, and who did he think they were? He went to Eli several times, didn't he? You see, those voices aren't sufficient in and of themselves, but there is something wonderful about the Word of God. It doesn't change. Children, it is something that you can study throughout your life. It won't change. And that is something that is sorely lacking in this life, are things that are stable, unchanging. And the Word of God is one of those things that is stable and unchanging. It is able to uphold you throughout all of the challenges of life. Next, he moves into a section where he begins to describe what it is that the Word has given him, that he has become wise. And he describes three different types of categories of individuals whom he is wiser than. He starts off, he says, that your commandments, God, make me wiser than my enemies. Now, first, if we recognize at the outset we're dealing with a regenerate man, whom are the enemies that are being described here? but they are those who are at war with the things of God. So the enemies that are being described here are those who are at war with God. And if we know anything about the condition of man in his fallen state, it is that we are blind in our sins. We are dumb in our sins. Our ears, our eyes, they do not function. They do not have understanding. And here he says, "Your commandments, God, make me wiser than my enemies." Well, there are several ways that he is made wiser than his enemies. One, he is wiser than his enemies because he understands his enemy. He knows the perspective from which his enemy is operating in rebellion to God. He understands the hostility that is in the heart and mind of all those who do not know and call upon the name of Jesus Christ. He also is wiser than his enemies because he has eyes that function and ears that hear and a mind that has been enabled to comprehend the truths of God's word. His enemy does not have those things. Psalm 115 is a wonderful psalm that describes those who are idolaters, those who fashion idols. There we read that those who fashion these idols are themselves very much like the idols they fashion. Their eyes don't work, just like those idols' eyes don't work. Their mouths don't speak, their ears don't hear, their minds don't comprehend. And so we can see that it is the commandment of God that gives the psalmist wisdom. There is something else that he calls upon here, that he proclaims. He says, "Your commandment is ever with me." Children, one of the things that you're doing now in the Quest program is memorizing the catechism. And there's a reason why we have you memorizing the catechism. It's so that as you grow, you'll be able to remember those facts. You'll be able to call on those things when they are needed. And you'll be able to give an answer. Well, here David is saying, from my meditation on your word every day, your commandments now have a permanent place within my heart. I can call upon them anytime that I need them. They are like a rock. Next, he turns his attention to another group that he now has greater understanding. He says, "I have more understanding now than my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." You see, this would be likened perhaps to those teachers in our public schools. Your teacher that's trying to teach you math. Well, unless they are themselves a Christian, they probably aren't trying to keep Christ in the center of that lesson that they are teaching. And yet, Christ is there. Christ is the Lord over mathematics, over English, over social studies, over history. And here the psalmist is saying, "I am now filled with greater understanding than even my teachers because of the word of God. Because of your word, God, because of your testimonies, I now understand all of these pieces which comprise my education in their place beneath you. And for that reason, I have greater understanding than my teachers." Lastly, he looks at another group. He says, "I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts." You see, there's another way in which we learn throughout life. There is experience. As we go throughout life, we gain experiences. And here he says, "I even have greater understanding, more wisdom now than those who have enjoyed a long life apart from you, God." Because there's a limit to what our experiences can teach us, especially if our experiences aren't viewed through the filter of God's law. You see, if we're merely going through life and having experiences and they aren't being filtered through God's word, we aren't going to comprehend them. Again, we understand that those who go throughout life and may go through many different experiences apart from Christ, they will lack and lose out on all of the lessons that God would be pleased otherwise to teach them. And we've already dealt with why that is. Because as we mentioned from Psalm 115, if they aren't walking with God, if they've not been illumined by the Holy Spirit, then those experiences are undertaken in blindness and deafness and dumbness. So here we have the psalmist. He has praised God for the law and what he sees now within the law and the great benefit that it is to him. We have seen that it has had a transforming effect upon his understanding, making him wise. But we see that there is something else here that is important for the study of God's Word. It isn't that we merely study God's Word to accumulate knowledge, to become knowers of biblical facts, to become trivial experts of God's law. No, there is an aspect of transformation that should also emanate from that diligent study of God's Word. As God is pleased to illumine us by His Holy Spirit, it should also take a hold of our walk. And so he says in verse 101, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. You see, the Lord would have us evaluate ourselves, to reflect and to examine ourselves. Not only that we are regularly meditating upon His Word, but are we seeing God's hand at work within us, shaping and molding us, and changing our behavior? Are we seeing the transformative effect of the gospel within our lives? Is the desire of our heart to do those things which God is pleased to see us do? Or are there still little corners of our heart that are bent on pursuing our own desires and our own will? He says, the word as it is understood should shape our path, should guide us, and should enable us to walk in a fashion that is in keeping with what God has taught us. And again, we see here that the psalmist is not praising himself, patting himself on the back for this great understanding that he now enjoys. But he rightly attributes this understanding, this love of the law of God, to something that is the product of God's hand alone, that it was God and God alone who taught him these things. See, this is one of the wonderful ways that God helps to keep us from becoming puffed up and filled with pride. That we would, through our study of His Word, realize where all of this wisdom and knowledge emanates from, who it is that is our great teacher, and that we would rightly praise Him. We see here that the psalmist delights in the Word of God. Not only is it his meditation all the day, but he goes on to describe it as something that is sweet to his taste, sweeter than honey in his mouth. In our sinfulness, as we read the law, the word didn't seem very sweet, as it made us aware of our transgressions, our need, our failures to uphold the law of God. But for the one who has been regenerate, for the one who has experienced the grace of God, for the one who has been drawn out from the world, now God's law is sweet. It is life-giving. It is directing. It's an expression of God's great love and provision for us, such that there's nothing that He values more. It's honey to His mouth. He says, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. We see that the one whom God has pulled out from the world, the one whom he has opened his eyes and his ears and his mind, who he has given understanding and wisdom from his word, whom he has transformed and enabled to walk in a pattern that is honoring to God, that with that also comes an ability to rightly judge and to rightly understand those things which are right versus those things that are wrong. And we see that there is a Bible-based, a God-honoring morality that is present here. He says, I hate every false way. So great is his love for the ways of God, so great is his love for the Word of God, that now when he comes into contact with those that are not walking according to the Word, or are, if he is tempted to do those things which he knows God does not delight, he hates that sin. This is a radical transformation from where we were originally in our sin. Where we loved our sin. We loved sin because it made so many promises for joy that it would give to us and pleasure. And yet, it always fell short. But here he has tasted the Word of God. Here he has become aware of the love of God and his faithfulness, his gracious gift. And all of those other things now are repugnant before him, pungent in his nose. He hates every false way. I mentioned the example of those silver spoons at the outset. That if we give ourselves to the polishing of those, they have a tendency to shine. Maybe another way to look at this and understand this love of the law of God is also to think in terms of those whom we love. For those who are married and you think back to the day before you were married and you would get a letter from your beloved, did it ever sit unopened on the table for days on end? Did you not pick up that letter and read it again and again? Beloved brothers and sisters, God has entrusted to our care. He has provided to us his letter. In it, he describes an amazing love, loving us even when we were unlovable. Sending to us our great Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who ministered among us, humbling himself, coming down in the form of a man, feeling the effects of the fallenness of this world, being saddened by those he came to serve as they acted out in ignorance and as they acted out in hate against the things of God. Whose delight was to do the will of the Father. And he did it, laying down his life as a willing sacrifice, taking it up in victory over death, that you and I today, as we gather here, as those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ, may enjoy and call upon his promises and know that we will enjoy life everlasting in him. And God's word attests to it. Give yourself to his word, to the study of his word, that you may be reminded of his love shown to us, that you may become more skilled, that you may shine brighter amongst all those that God puts across your path, that you may have opportunity to speak of the one whom you love, your Savior, Jesus Christ, that you may have the opportunity to see God's hand at work, building his church here and throughout the world. Let's look to God in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you again that you have not left us without your revelation. You have not left us only with our memories. But rather, Lord, you loved us so much that you have preserved your word, which attests to your faithfulness, your wonderful plan of salvation, which reminds us of your promises and what it is that lay ahead for all those who call upon your name. And Lord, as you have been pleased to grant to us your Holy Spirit, you have enabled us to understand the world around us, all that you have created, in a way that we otherwise could not. You have made us wiser than our enemies, wiser with more understanding than our teachers. And Lord, by your revelation, you have taught us far more than any set of experiences could teach us. And Lord, you have been pleased to give us these things, Lord, not that we would store them up, but that we would be transformed by them, that we would grow day by day in our service to you, that we would grow more effective as your ambassadors to speak about our Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we grow in this understanding, as we grow in service to you, as our walk is honoring to you, may we, like the psalmist, have disdain for all of those things that are not right. Lord, that we would give up the comfortable sins and instead delight to do your will. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Selection A.